Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
0-2 the count. And he tries to hold up. Goes too far. Ball game over. Swing is called by Rob Drake, the first base umpire. That'll be a strikeout for Duvall to end the game and end this series with a Giants 5-3 victory. Giants take 2 out of 3 here in this 3-game set. The Astros end the road trip 3-3 on their West Coast swing to Anaheim and San Francisco.
In sports, athleticism matters. Talent matters. But perhaps more than anything, as we learned over the course of yesterday, composure matters. Whether it's Framber Valdez or the guy who fouled out with over 4 minutes to go in NBA Finals game number 3. Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Thursday, June 13th, 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George.
Oh, Paul.
I mean, we are both people who, due to our Irish ancestry,
yes,
are quick-tempered.
Yes.
I think over time, I've become better when it comes to managing my temper and keeping composed. But it's an everyday struggle. I'm assuming it's the same thing for you.
Yeah, you know, little things can set you off. You know, but, you know, try to stay calm, cool, calm, composed at all times. It's not easy. It's not easy. Things can trigger me, but I try my best to. What's that movie?
Anger Management.
Goose Fraba.
Goose Fraba, indeed.
What a great scene that
is. I was
is.
About to go right to that line.
What a great scene. I love that movie.
I don't love watching Framber Valdez going up against the offense of a National League team that's under 500. And struggle. And it's not something that we're unfamiliar with. When Framber Valdez starts to have bad innings, oh boy, it turns into an avalanche and quickly. After yesterday's game, Joe Espada, manager of the Houston Astros, was asked why he pulled Framber Valdez after just 59 pitches and 4 innings of work. Here's what he had to say.
You know, stuff was good. It was staying up in the zone a bit. Anytime you see opponents hitting the ball in the air with ease, you kind of know that he's not missing down in the zone. So just not his best day.
Is that why you pulled him after 59?
Yeah, you know, I thought at the time, you know, just to give us a chance to win. Seth would have been good with those righty pocket there, since I didn't think that Framber was, you know, super sharp today.
He definitely wasn't super sharp. When he first answers that question, you hear the pause, and you know that going through Joe Espada's mind is, I knew there was potential for this thing to really unravel after what went down in the fourth inning. And to the Astros' bullpen credit, they came in and they shut the door. But today was one of those days where your starting pitching and your bats didn't show up, and now you're 4-30 on the year when you score 3 runs or less. This is what goes back to us whenever we talk about Framber Valdez and whether or not we want him to be a part of this team long-term. The potential for this isn't just possible against a team with a loaded lineup like the Texas Rangers in the American League Championship Series, or against the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. This is also possible against teams like this.
And this is Framber. Like, his last two starts before this, He pitches 16 innings, gives up 6 hits combined.
Pitched a complete game.
12 strikeouts. Like, he can be one of the best pitchers in baseball. He was last year, you know, not too far before the All-Star break, was in the top 3 betting odds to win the American League Cy Young. Like, that's who Fromber can be. But we all know, like, this is also part of Fromber. He's Jekyll and Hyde. You know, we've seen it, whether it's just his performance, the mental mistakes he'll make. Like, there's been some, when he would charge home plate and then he airmails it. He makes bad decisions at times. And that's why Fromber has questions. I give Joe Espada, honestly, a lot of credit for making that decision yesterday. It's not easy to make that one. Especially with a guy like Fromber, who's probably not going to handle it very well, to be honest. I mean, this is a guy that last year, we all assume that his downfall of the second half of the season really started when Dusty Baker told him he can't start in the All-Star game because he was going to be on too short of rest for that moment. Yet he chose Gerrit Cole, who had pitched like 3 days prior. And that's when everything really fell apart for Fromber in 2023.
That's an interesting link.
Yeah. And then this year, like this moment, this could lead to a disaster for Fromber going forward. Like, he's not mentally tough. We all know that about Fromber. That's not something is like breaking news.
He knows that.
Yeah, he knows that.
I mean, he's had mental health coaches. And look, I think we all deal with it in some way, shape, or form, as we said coming into it. But whenever you hear this from Fromber, I felt a little uncomfortable. The pitches weren't doing what I wanted them to do, including the breaking stuff. So I was a little bit out of control there. At the very least, he didn't throw at somebody's head like he did in 2 games with a good one sandwiched in the middle, much like that one we just saw on Friday against the Rangers and Mariners in last year's regular season. And also, at least on the final out of that inning, on a ball that he fielded, he didn't throw that one into the stands, which he also does from time to time. Sometimes he gets hero ball-ish when he is somebody who's a defender. It's very annoying.
Yeah, he's just kind of reckless sometimes when he gets the ball in his hand. So you can tell he panics a little bit.
Right.
He doesn't have composure when he makes those plays, typically.
The composure is not always there with him.
Yeah.
It's so important to have this. And no matter how good Fromber is as a lefty, how filthy his stuff is, how conducive his game is to today's baseball game where he creates so many ground balls when everyone's trying to launch him out of the ballpark, this is always on the table. And I don't know how you fix this. And I think it's interesting that last night what we saw in the NBA Finals happened as well. Because if you watched last night's game, the Mavericks started off against the Celtics looking awesome. And Kyrie Irving finally showed up. He was engaged. But Luka Doncic was doing exactly what Luka Doncic has been doing all series long. And then in a moment in the second quarter, Luka really flopped to try and get a foul call, sits on the court, holds his hand up, complaining towards the referees, and Sam Hauser for the Boston Celtics goes to the top of the three-point line and buries a three that started Boston on a run. The very next play, Luka does the exact same thing. Another Boston three happens, and a huge lead that Dallas had early in that game that had me nervous evaporates. And while Dallas had a great run at the end of the game, if you watched from that point on, Luka was playing angry and out of control and lacked composure, constantly barking at referees to the point that I think there were moments where referees were wondering whether or not they would give him an and-one call on a ball that they weren't sure was going to go through the basket. I feel like there was this one moment, there was a very late whistle, and I think because of all the bitching and moaning that Luka did over the course of that game, they didn't call a foul there. And someone like this, Luka, who has all the talent, is going to have to get over stuff like this. And you can definitely tell that today, June 13th, 2024, unless someone grabbed him by the shirt and started yelling at him in Slovenian, I doubt that his mindset has changed very much from where what he said right here when he was asked about the officiating in last night's game, which the Celtics eventually won 109-99.
Luka, what did you think of the whistles that went against you in the fourth quarter?
I mean, I don't know. We couldn't play physical, so I don't know. I don't want to say nothing, but, you know, six foul in the NBA Finals, where basically I'm like this. Come on, man. Better than that.
I mean, I think with Luka, he complains all the time. And he, as great of a player as he is, because of how much he complains, then because of how much he barks at the fans, whatever stadium he's in, I think that's why he doesn't get the LeBron treatment. He doesn't get the Steph Curry, the KD. Like trying to be like, six fouls? Come on, man. Well, dude, you got like, what, three fouls in like 5 minutes?
And some of the fouls were bad.
Reckless basketball.
I can understand why someone would argue against that last foul call, but the one that he had, his fourth foul on Peyton Pritchard, was terrible. And that's what happens when all of a sudden you lose your composure. And hey, at the very least with Framber Valdez, after yesterday's game where he did get shelled for 4 runs, at the very least, he is self-aware enough to say, yeah, you know what? I lost control. And he didn't have a super meltdown where it looked like he was having a temper tantrum on the mountain. Now, he did have a couple of those last year. But Luka had a temper tantrum in the middle of that game, started playing poorly, stopped playing defense altogether, which has been a problem for a lot of this series. Not all of this game last night, by the way. He played defense for a little bit.
Yeah.
But the composure is so big in sports. And I think there are a few things more frustrating when you're watching a great athlete who you know is good that can't help but get pissy and then turn into a completely different player.
And the thing, too, about, like, last night's game for Luka, like Framber's one thing, right, Paul? Like, yeah. It's game, like, what, like, 80-something? So, like, even if he loses his composure, like, as much as we know this is, like, the deal with Framber, it's the middle of the game. Like, it's the middle of the season. For Luka, in the finals, to lose your composure like this, that's just, you can't do that. Like, if Framber lost his composure like we've seen in the past in the World Series a couple years ago, that's an utter disaster. And he hasn't really done that. For the most part, in the playoffs, he's not always great in the playoffs, but he's not making huge messes of himself. And I think the big difference between yesterday's two games versus, or yesterday's game versus the history of Framber is what he acknowledged after the game and what Joe Espada said. Like, he just wasn't getting ground outs. He just was not pitching his best stuff. Blum was talking about it, him and TK on the broadcast, talking how the curveball just like was not working for him yesterday, not being able to get guys out, not getting guys to chase after it. So Framber was just more probably didn't have his best stuff, and Joe Espada made the right decision to yank him before he had the full Framber meltdown. Luka, it's just inexcusable to have that performance in which you end up fouling out, even if that last call, you know, they challenged it, and I wasn't sure which way they were going to go with it. So kind of what Luka said, to be honest, Paul, I thought they were going to overturn it. And not
I thought there was a chance.
Not let a star player foul out of a game.
That referee had a very dramatic pause before finally saying, yep, it is a foul.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because you don't feel like Adam Silver's happy today that, you know, the Mavs are down by 3 points after that still and Luka's not in the game.
No doubt. I mean, look, I'll be honest. Even as a Celtics fan, I'm as someone who's just so sick and tired of everyone hearing people nitpick what the Celtics have done this year. They're going to have 80 wins when they win the title eventually, yeah. And there's a chance that they go undefeated on the road. But, oh, they've beaten nobody, blah, 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 blah.
I hate that.
I mean, they're killing everybody they have all year. They've been the best team in basketball for the entirety of a year. But that's my own rant. I would have liked to see Luka finish that game because I don't want to hear this continuously. And Luka took himself out of the game when he was on the court. And, of course, at the end of it, the last 4 minutes. To his credit, his teammates still hung in there. Dallas did put up, I think, a hell of a fight last night outside of that stretch where Boston just went gangbusters. They started off great. They closed the game out great. But when you got a guy like Luka who just was throwing a hissy fit for the entirety of a game, you got problems. And my question for you guys, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us at twitch.tv/ESPN975 or tweet us. Akalon says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mabes. When you got a great athlete who has these issues with composure, what the hell are you supposed to do? And I guess to localize it a little bit, who in this town do you feel like has the best composure? that you don't have an issue with that. I can think of one. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Astros lost 2 of 3 to the Giants, 5-3 yesterday afternoon, 3-3 on their road trip in California. Framber Valdez seemed to lose his composure in that game, and also the Boston Celtics have a 3-0 NBA Finals series lead after taking down Dallas 109-99. Luka Doncic lost his composure in that game. He fouled out of that game with 4 minutes to play. Lots of complaining towards the referees, to a point where, as much as I love watching Luka shoot in the playoffs, even as he is punching my favorite team directly in the nads every single time he hits one of those just incredible with a defender in his face shots,
yeah.
I found myself last night thinking to myself, God, I can't stand him. I just can't stand him. It finally happened. Honestly, the first two games, didn't mind it. I was like, you know what? He's a really good player. But last night, the complaining, the lack of defense, the seeming lack of accountability, which you heard from him in the last segment where he's talking about how he shouldn't be getting 6 fouls called against him in the NBA Finals when he's clearly playing out of control, to me, I am out in terms of liking Luka Doncic, enjoying him, rooting for him, the sports fan that still lives inside me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Like, he's James Harden. This is everything that, like, when we've only been doing the show for a couple months together, but we have equal disdain for the style of basketball that James Harden plays. This is what I remember. The relentless complaining, the lack of trying on defense, showing up out of shape, trying to play hero ball when there's better opportunities for your teammates on the court. Like, that's what Luka is. He's James Harden. And he will probably win he'll win MVPs like James Harden. He'll have scoring titles like James Harden. Now, he's gone farther than James Harden has ever gone. But, like, I wouldn't put money that Luka Doncic ever plays in the finals again.
Interesting.
He's just, this stuff gets old. And as much of a miracle it is, that him and Kyrie, like, maybe that's the biggest difference between him and James, is that Kyrie Irving and Luka get along. But even then, I wonder, like, how long it lasts for.
If I'm Kyrie Irving, I'm pissed, because you know what I like actually seeing from Kyrie Irving now? All players complain to the referees. But last night, just watch the way that Kyrie Irving spoke to the referees versus the way Luka spoke to him.
Yeah. There's
a couple of moments where Kyrie goes to the side and has actually a polite conversation with them. And Luka yelling at them all the time, I'm sorry. We all know this in life. You're going to attract flies, right? If there's honey, not vinegar. And Luka is a vinegar thrower. He is just spewing that.
Chris Paul. I mean, Chris,
fair comparison.
He's the same way. It's like, see, like, you know, Chris Paul and all the issues he has with refs. Like, obviously, some are more famous than others. It's the same thing. It's the complaint you do, the way you talk to them. That, like, it's just, it's, puts you in a bad spot, puts your team in a bad spot. Someone's got to get to him before next season, because this season's over. It's donezo. Like they're not coming back down from 3-0. They'll be lucky to play a game on Monday night. This is it. And if I'm the Mavs, like someone's just got to try to figure out a way to get him to just chill out. Just shut up and play basketball. Like,
who's going to do that?
Could it be Kyrie?
Is they going to get a Slovenian war hero from the Slovenian Civil War of 1991?
Yeah, they have Jason Kidd and Kyrie Irving. I mean, that's what Brian Windhorst, in his evisceration of Luka Doncic on SVP, he part of it, because he went on for a while undressing him, but part of it was the fact that the Mavs had talked to him before about keeping his emotions in check, because this happens in regular season games where he just flips out, and there's seasons where he's like dangerously close to getting suspended because of how many technical fouls he'll run up by barking at refs.
If Jason Kidd or Kyrie Irving can't get to Luka. Do you think that he who points his fingers dramatically on television, Brian Windhorst, will reach him? Brian Windhorst joined Scott Van Pelt after the game. I got to say, I did not know that Brian Windhorst had this pitch in him. Windhorst flayed Luka Doncic and set him on fire like he was Ramsey Bolton on ESPN last night. Take it away, Windy.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with five fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, "You better bleeping challenge it," as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this what's happened in this finals as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
Brian Windhorst, I'll leave it right there. I appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll talk again this series. You think we get to a Game 5 Monday or no?
I'm very interested to see what Luka does on Friday. The 18th banner is coming to Boston. The duck boats are getting loaded up at some point. I want to see how Luka reacts because he owes his team a better performance in Game 4.
Brian Windhorst, thank you so much.
He's so professional in the second answer, but...
Yeah, man.
I mean, Windhorst just outdid whatever the hell the Speak for Your Pizza shows are doing this morning on ESPN and Fox. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I also didn't think he had that in his bag. But he's right. Like, everything's right. And I heard Sean Dell talking about this. Like, it's very clear his seat must have been in the area of which the Mavs bench was because he heard all this stuff. But I just don't know who talks to a guy like Luka. Like who tells Luka Doncic to chill out?
It has to be something from within. Like you can't just be like, oh, you know what? Never thought of it like that. Like it has to be getting embarrassed on the biggest stage in basketball, which mission accomplished. You're halfway there. Now it's the change your ways part. But yeah, I mean, I think some of it is like it's your first finals, and a lot of times your first finals doesn't go super well. So there could be some of that, but it's really what he's been under a microscope. When things don't go well for the Mavericks, which was the first part of this season and most of last season, when things don't go wrong, or when things do go wrong, this is what bad Luka games look like. And it's still like he was catching a lot of James Harden comparisons. Might want to look at those James Harden turds that he dropped. He would kill for like an 11 for 22. He would kill for that being the embarrassing game.
409 Josh texted in, "I haven't watched much NBA these past 4 to 5 years. The playoffs are the first time I've seen Luka play. I don't enjoy watching European Harden style of play, but there is a big difference between these two, and I think it's entirely their demeanor. When things do not go James Harden's way, he checks out. When things do not go Luka Doncic's way, he gets angry and throws hissy fits. I'll be honest, I'd rather the guy throw angry hissy fits and show that he cares, be a competitor, than just check out entirely, shrug. And other than that, I do understand the comparisons, but people were pushing back on me, Joe, online earlier today. I will admit that whenever I see the two young Rockets online accounts, specifically Biased Houston and Brad O, generally it's so sunshiny about the Rockets that whenever I see something that was as simple as, oh, they're going to finally start talking about Luka Doncic the way that they talked about James Harden, which Brad O posted, and to me I was like, oh, people don't like it when an out-of-shape player who constantly is trying to deceive referees at the end of a game stops playing defense because of all the energy that he is putting into deceiving and barking at referees. A lot of people don't like that stuff. And I think it is fascinating, and I know you made this observation as well, that we are making the comparison to Harden. I still think it's disrespectful to Luka, even if it's early in Luka's career.
No, I agree, because Luka's performing well. And this is just it's fanboys trying to find a way to defend Harden and say, like, Pete, they're too mean to James Harden. Okay, you mean the guy who, like, wasn't at training camp, the guy who was more focused on getting his jersey retired in a strip club, the guy who showed up fat, the guy who brought in and ran out Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, the guy who ruined your franchise, the guy who got Steven Silas hired and then quit on the team and played the most pathetic basketball I've ever seen in my life. Like, why do people, like,
yeah,
why do people defend guys, this loser?
Guys, I get it. Houston fans. We're Houston fans. The Dallas team is losing. The Dallas star is being pretty embarrassing in the way he's losing. You can just clown him for that. You do not have to then go, aha, James Harden. How about that? Like, no, this is not a James Harden is good moment. This is a Luka Doncic getting dragged down moment.
To Harden's level.
That is the play. It's honestly not even close to Harden's level. I last night, because I was seeing the same things, I just screenshotted a whole bunch of box scores from elimination games with James Harden. Here's one from 2017 against the Spurs with no Tony Parker, no Kawhi Leonard at home. Toyota Center was rocking. I was watching this game, I think in Austin, with a Spurs fan. Didn't have a good time because the Spurs won 114-75. They won by 40. And James Harden came in with a cool 2-for-11 from the field, 10 points, 7 assists, spreading the ball around. And this is familiar with Luka Doncic, 6 fouls in that game. So he also fouled out of a game, but the difference was his team lost by 40 and he was 3-for-11.
And there's so many more.
Yes.
And I think, Sean, they're trying desperately to drag Luka down to Harden's level because they felt like Harden was unfairly criticized.
Oh, I got one. Here's listener, I have more than one. I have quite a few. A lot of people were taking screenshots of the two games last year that Harden played well against the Boston Celtics. I'll even say it's not these Boston Celtics because these Boston Celtics have Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis on them, but he did play well at the start of that series. However, the last two games of the series, not as well. Game 6, Boston won by 9. James Harden came in with 43 minutes. Great. Love it. Out there competing. 4-for-16 from the field. Oof. 0-for-6 from 3.
Oof.
For 13 points. And then in Game 7, hey, listen. Game 7, the Garden. I get it. It's tough. So I really can kind of hand wave the 9 points on 3-for-11 shooting, 1-for-5 from the field. That, you know, that's fine. Again, though, we're clowning Luka for going 11-for-27 with 27 points.
I think it's more about, for me, it's even though, yeah, Luka's, his numbers are much better.
Against a better team.
He still costs his team the game. Like, yeah. He's still, you know, he's kept them in the game more than James did.
Yeah, they didn't lose by 40. Yes.
But it's still, when the buzzer sounds at the end of the fourth quarter, Luka's not on the court because he's acting like a child. So, like, he is the new James Harden. He just is going to perform.
Disrespectful.
He's just going to perform better. He's going to perform
way too
better.
Disrespectful.
Just like Anthony Edwards, we crown him next Michael Jordan too fast. We're crowning Luka Doncic next James Harden too fast.
I agree.
He needs years in the game.
Totally.
He needs
agree.
Years of doing this. Because again, LeBron had the 2011 finals. Jason Tatum had the 2022 finals. You can be bad in finals.
And speaking of Harden, who made the finals in 2012, was so god awful against the Miami Heat. People forget about that, and he was a bench player then. He was so bad in that series to the point when the Rockets made that trade on Halloween. I was asking Daryl Morey at the introductory press conference, 23-year-old bushy eyebrowed me, like, wait, this guy? He was annoyed by that question. That was my first interaction with Daryl. The old Big J Paul on the warpath, thinking that I was about to get a job in Boston and leave forever. This is not fair to compare Luka Doncic to James Harden. You are dragging Luka down several levels.
I am. I guess my perspective is it's more about...
Joe, a couple of days ago...
How much people hate him.
But a couple of days ago, we were saying Luka might be the best player in basketball.
James Harden at one point was one of the best players in basketball.
No one had ever believed that.
But I hated watching him play basketball.
I mean, honestly, I remember when it was my moment where I was completely out on this guy ever being the best player in basketball unless he actually, I don't know, like gets in good shape. It was in the 2014 series against the Portland Trail Blazers. We're in Game 5 and Game 6. All of a sudden, the Blazers started backing James Harden down, and he ran out of steam. And Dwight Howard was the one who was carrying them those last two games before ultimately Chandler Parsons lost Damian Lillard for that game-winning and series-winning three-point shot that he hit. Like, that was there. And then 2015, the next year, I mean, they're down big against the Clippers, and all of a sudden Harden's missing in action during one of the greatest comebacks that we've seen in NBA history. Those two examples right there, before the many more afterwards, and sure, you can bring up a couple of different examples, but Harden has such a long track record. This is Luka's first, oh, now everyone thinks he's an a-hole moment, and it happens in the NBA Finals. It does. But I to what Sean was saying, I really want everyone to pump the brakes after one game to make the comparison to James Harden. To me, I mean, that is an indictment on somebody's basketball career. If you are comparing him to that gamesman. Like, I don't even think of Harden as an athlete. I think of him as somebody who saw the way that the game was changing and realized, you know what? If I shoot a ton of threes, even if I'm the 270th greatest all-time three-point shooter in three-point percentage, then I'm going to put up a lot of points. And especially if I play iso ball, because no one actually cares about that during the regular season. No one's going to play intense defense against me. And then you get to the playoffs, and I mean, look at what the Boston Celtics were struggling to do when they were struggling to score last night. The same thing with the Mavericks. When both those teams sucked last night, they were doing exactly what James Harden does every single playoffs, which is settle for really difficult shots instead of, I don't know, trying to be the best teammate he can be.
Yeah, I know it's early for me to put him in that category, so I'll say I'm on. Luka is the next Harden watch.
No, I'm not even going to do that.
My antennas are up.
Not even going to do that.
No. The examples
my eyes are looking.
The examples I have are from 2015 to 2013.
I know.
Yeah. Not 2013. 23. Last year. So... we have 8 years of, and correct. That's not even counting the 2012 finals. That's not counting the Portland series. He has 8 years of being the guy.
I know.
He was second MVP that first year. Luke's has got a while to go.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to weigh in on this and the lack of composure that we saw in two Texas teams, whether it's your Houston Astros and Framber Valdez or Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks? You can 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Shawnee Mapes Behind the Glass, or on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. So that is on the table. Also, yesterday we had a conversation about who will be the first person to zag on the Houston Texans? Who will be the first person to ask difficult questions of the prince who was promised, CJ Stroud? One man did that, and now he's out of a career. Who are we talking about? We'll do that next. Stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
There are some people defending Joe George. A text: I usually hate Joe's takes, but Harden as Luka is pretty spot on. Both fat. Fat is an extreme way to describe them. I would say out of shape. Offensive powers, continues this texter, and trash on defense. Harden was absolutely one of the best players in the league for a few years. I'm going to add another note to that. In the regular season, I don't think it's a reach at all to say he's the next Harden.
Yeah, I just... I hope I'm wrong because I want to love Luka.
No, you don't. You want him to stink. I mean, that's the thing. That's the dynamic here.
I really don't. Like, I do love watching Luka play basketball when he's not complaining.
But I think that the idea of Dallas all of a sudden becoming a great basketball team where it didn't seem like long ago they were bad. Luka Doncic gets Rick Carlisle, one of the best coaches in recent league history, canned. Jason Kidd was looking at his own job, perhaps wondering if he was going to keep it until Kyrie Irving just turned back into the Kyrie Irving that we saw 5 to 6 years ago. But I think for Luka and the Mavericks to be here, I understand why everyone in Houston specifically wants to tear him down to the level of James Harden, who certainly had his great moments in the regular season and some great moments in the playoffs, but lots of just, in the absolute worst possible moment, disasters. And there's so many more, Joe, that I think Luka's got to rack up.
Oh, yeah.
Before this is a fair conversation.
Like, we're at the beginning of Candyland here, okay? Like, the game is just starting. The pieces are on the board. And, like, we're just getting ready to play.
Candyland.
I mean,
I wasn't really sure where to go. At first, I was, like, trying to think of a board game. I don't know why I didn't go with Monopoly.
Yeah. That was a little different, though.
Yeah, it's a little Maybe different. Because I think
they subtly think they're fat. So, with candy.
Okay.
But, like, I'm not saying he's there yet. It's just stuff like this.
It's literally like the Mahomes-Brady conversation.
Yeah.
You just need years in the game.
Yeah, like, you got a lot more to do to really be James Harden.
But there's a trajectory with Mahomes and Brady that even I can understand as somebody who openly wept watching Tom Brady's speech during his retirement ceremony.
Terrible scheduling, by the way.
It was terrible
scheduling. Why would you schedule it during the finals?
Also, it's not online yet, and I'm very angry because it was like Bill Burr was there. I mean, it was they really pulled off an incredible event. But anyway, back to this.
Patriot 4 were there.
Mahomes' trajectory is heading towards Tom Brady with the way that he started his career. In the case of Luka, I mean, this is the first game where we're like, oh my God, he is the worst, but he's still played very well in that game.
He did.
For the most part. He struggled at the end when he started to lose his composure. But, I mean, game one, game two, he was terrifying.
I mean, like, a lot of these texts and comments that we're getting are, yeah, this is the first time that I've seen, like, this is the first Luka game that I've watched. And, oh my God, he's just like Harden. Where it's like, that's not how you do it anywhere else. Where you're like, oh my God, This is the first round of the NCAA tournament I just watched. This guy looks like Michael Jordan. It's like,
well, that's the NBA now, because like that's how these Anthony Edwards, Michael Jordan takes were happening, was that people don't watch the Minnesota Timberwolves play basketball. As much as Luka Doncic could be a star in this league, one of the best players, people aren't exactly like going out of their way to watch the Mavs play basketball these days. That's the problem with basketball. It's like there's such a lack of interest that I think the reactionary takes that you get from it are always going to be super, super spicy.
It's not quite March Madness to what Sean was saying a little bit ago, but I mean, yeah, people really start paying attention come playoff time and specifically during the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, and NBA Finals.
But I would ask, during the Western Conference Finals, did anyone have problems with the way Luka Doncic played?
Everyone was about to crown him as the best player.
Not even the yelling at refs, because maybe you can, I mean, I don't think
there was less of it.
Is it just because he's playing worse though? Is it just because the shots aren't going? He's not the shots aren't going in, so he's yelling at the refs more.
Maybe that's it.
But if we're talking about the dribble up top, don't pass it around as like the style of play, that didn't change.
Fair point. We do have a call, 713-780-3776. Eddie wants to weigh in on Luka. We have been entertaining the comparison between he and James Harden. I strongly disagree with it, but Joe thinks that it does feel like things are going in that direction. Eddie, what you got?
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. Do you think Luka is frustrated because it's his first trip to the finals and he feels his great responsibility to get the job done? Or he's getting more frustrated because he's finding out that Boston is better?
I don't know if it's that. There have been moments in this series where Dallas has looked as equipped. But I think the first argument you're making, that could be it. It has come very easily for him for the majority of this postseason, and all of a sudden it's more difficult. It could be because of the latter point that he made, but whatever it was last night, I don't know why it flipped the way that it did. Maybe it was because of how well Dallas started off that game, and he was thinking, oh, everything's going our way tonight, so of course they're going to go my way too. But he played really reckless, and he had a lot of dumb fouls out there.
They also went on a 20-2 run in the fourth quarter, yeah. And then he fouled out. Mm-hmm. So, like, they were going on a run as that was happening.
And weirdly, he was, during that run, that was the one guy where he wasn't playing that well. It was everybody else.
No. Yeah.
He was doing a great job attacking the
basket. Pressing way too hard the entire second half, at least.
And that's kind of what, maybe, like, that's what it was he was just pushing so hard and pressing because he was frustrated with his game. They let it boil over. Like, this goes back to the beginning of the show, and we talked about Fromber. Like, when you look at Fromber, a lot of times, it's things are going well, and then it's one moment, and the composure is gone. And I don't know what that moment was for Luka last night, but there must have been something in the game that happened that just, like, really set him off.
It seemed like everything changed after, and I highlighted this a little bit before. I forget when specifically it happened, but it was at some point in the second quarter where Luka has Al Horford lined up against him and does his, you know, wiggling, steps back, tries to take a three. And Horford's nearby him, and Luka almost flailed on his follow throw into Horford. And was expecting a call there. No call happened, and then on the other end of the court, Sam Hauser hits a three. And something fairly similar happened on the very next possession. And at that point, Dallas really seemed to have the game in firm control. After that point, Boston went on a crazy run, and then all of a sudden, Dallas was the one that looked like they were dead. But the Celtics, who love to play with their food, guess what happened? that. We have a full board of calls. I wouldn't have thought that Luka Doncic would have created that, but I like it. So, let's go up next to Jason. Jason, what's up? Calling into Galan and George, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. Hey, Paul, I wanted to ask y'all's opinion on the NBA. With me being old enough to have disposable income but still watch TV, but as a teacher, seeing teenagers that don't, they watch TikTok highlights. How does the NBA plan to survive with no one watching their product anymore, and the only money is getting funneled through secondary markets of shoe deals, et cetera? I'll hang up and listen.
That is a very interesting question and very different from the one topic we're talking about. But for the sake of entertaining it, look, I mean, the TV rights deals are what's going to save them. I mean, you just saw what NBC did. They are making plenty of money. I do think it is interesting to talk about the way that games are watched these days. This is obviously very different, but who's actually watching WNBA games? Everyone's talking about them.
Who's watching?
But I don't think anyone's watching. I think with NBA games, there are people that are watching them, but I do think that that dynamic of how younger fans watch, and I would imagine some of them, just given our collective attention spans, are perhaps seeing most of what they see through Instagram Reels,
yeah, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Like, it's a younger game now. And, like, and the fans aren't even fans of teams anymore.
Yeah, my brother just graduated high school, so I feel like I have, like Jason, have some insight into this. And, yeah, my brother and I talk about basketball, and he's a big soccer guy, so he talks to me about soccer. And I give him the most boilerplate, like, not back in my day. Need to rough him up. He talks about him, and he knows his stuff. He knows what's going on, but I have never seen him watch a game, or I've seen him watch a game like a handful of times. So there is a part of, like, these. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the fix is. But like you mentioned with the TV deal, it's like they just signed a $80 billion TV deal. So I'll say they have time to figure it out.
Right.
they have some time before the money dries up.
They're not baseball. I mean, baseball's got a huge problem because they don't even know how to get people to watch the short little clips, because all those home runs, for the most part, do look the same, you know, unless there's a sick bat flip attached to it.
Yeah, they view things very differently than every other sport. Like, they're looking at this next generation.
These kids.
They're hoping that one day they're going to stop watching on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, and they're going to watch games. But the real problem, like when I worked at Lids, like, it was weird. You know, all these parents come in for Christmas, and, like, they would buy a Kyle Tucker and a Correa jersey and all these things. And then when they don't come in for basketball, they didn't want a James Harden jersey. They want Steph Curry jerseys. They want LeBron jerseys. Like, they want they're fans of individual players. It's almost like how a lot of like the older generation is with fantasy football, but the younger generation, they follow players. Some players will, like, some kids will follow Kevin Durant no matter where he goes. They don't care what team he's on. They have no loyalty to the Phoenix Suns. They're loyal to Kevin Durant. So they're finding a way to make it work. Like, the TV deal and all that stuff is just going to go up.
They're not in trouble. Long answer short, though. Maybe the way that it's watched is totally different. We got Keith up next, 713-780-3776, wanting to talk about the NBA Finals, which the Boston Celtics lead 3-0. Who would have thought?
Hey, guys,
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love the conversation. As much heat as Luka is taking for the Game 3 loss, the Tim Hardaway Jr. minutes are inexcusable, unacceptable by Jason Kidd. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been absolutely terrible, not in the rotation. He hasn't made a bucket since May 18th. I get it. He's paid a lot of money, and he's the son of a former NBA player. But he is so, so bad. Anybody else on that Mavs bench should be getting those minutes. Even Marcus Morris.
It's not a good sign, and Keith, appreciate the phone call. When, as I call him, seeing as a Celtics fan who doesn't watch every single game, I did not know who the hell that guy was. But when forward Xavier Tillman hit a three-point shot after being left wide open in the corner for three, a guy who truly did not look like he belonged on the court at times. Nothing against him, and congratulations to him for hitting that three. Everyone in the Celtics were super ecstatic about him making it. But, I mean, the way that he made it, it was almost as if they're all like, yeah, he's not supposed to take that shot.
Or it's like a high school game where one team's up 40, and it's like everyone on the team is like, now we're trying to get everyone a bucket.
Who's the guy on the Cougs that came in?
Ryan Elvin.
At the end of the Kansas game, and he hit, I think he had 9 points in the last minute, and everyone was losing their minds. Like, Xavier Tillman hitting that shot was akin to that, and yeah, Tim Hardaway Jr. was not very good.
No.
That guy sounds like he might be a Mavericks fan. A little frustrated.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I mean, he knows the – because Dell and I talked about Tim Hardaway Jr.
Is that a real stat that he hasn't hit a shot since May 18th?
Yes, no, that's the, I don't know if it's the 18th.
Like,
but
that's brutal.
Yeah, he hasn't – he was barely in the rotation during the Timberwolves series, so some of that's like he just didn't play.
Yeah.
But that speaks to, hey, maybe this guy who didn't play in the Timberwolves series shouldn't be getting 20 minutes in a must-win game. I don't know.
One last call. I'm surprised that this many people want to talk about a series that seems very over, but composure. Luka Doncic is making us lose our composure. John on the north side calling in. John, what's up?
Fellas, I'm going to tell you, I just love it. You know, I usually don't watch the NBA Finals unless the Rockets is in it. But I watch this one because, personally, I don't like Irving and I don't like Luka. Let me tell you why Luka is mad. Luka is mad because all those crap calls he's been getting his whole career. You know, let me run into this defensive player and they're going to call a foul. He's not getting all that in the NBA Finals. He thinks every time he gets the ball and somebody come close to him, it's supposed to be a foul. Well, Jason Kidd and Kyrie Irving know better than that. They should have told him, hey, man, we play in Boston in the NBA Finals. They're legendary. You're not going to get those cheap, easy calls you've been getting your whole career. Certainly not in Boston, and you're not going to get them in the NBA Finals. So maybe he's getting a wake-up call now and realizing he got to play some ball. He might get a few calls, but the rest is not going to give him all them cheap calls and help him beat the Boston Celtics. That's his problem, and I'm laughing and enjoying it, man. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, John, and you need to call in more. That was a fantastic
call. Whenever you want.
Whenever you want. I love
always
that.
Welcome.
Front of the line.
Short, to the point, but entertaining along the way and saying all of the exact same things that I was thinking.
There's a clip of Luka with the ball matched up against Peyton Pritchard of the Boston Celtics. Probably has like 5 inches on Peyton Pritchard, Luka does. And he gets the ball. He goes up. He's pump faking, trying to jump into him to get the foul call. He passes out, reposts again, and actually just tries to do the same exact move where he jumps into him twice with Peyton. Yeah. Effing Pritchard on him.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a better matchup all night, Luka. Maybe just try to go past him.
One of my good friends is somebody who helps coordinate players who don't make it in the NBA careers in Europe. And we were texting all last night about all the many moments like that where Luka does not need to try and create a foul. And it's like he's addicted to trying to find a way to get that foul to happen.
I think that's part of the losing. Well, it's also
there he is. There's Joe.
It's also part of the losing composure, where I'm sure he was mad at the refs, and so he was just trying to force them to call fouls.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Luka would have been like Luka. The way they changed the rules recently in the NBA, where you can't like pump fake and then basically dive into the defensive player. Luka definitely misses those calls that he doesn't get anymore.
Yes. Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Great job on the phones today, listeners. We love you. Coming up next, we said this yesterday. There's got to be somebody who is going to say that C.J. Stroud ain't all that. In a way, we got that, and now that person has decided to walk away from the industry entirely. The take he made was too hot, and he rode off into the sunset. We'll tell you about a battle red pill that Joe George might actually agree with next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.